Tell you what, we'll start in this verse. Turn to this one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, for roughly a year, the Lord has been dissecting you. Can you? What I mean by that, based on this verse we're about to look at, it's almost like he's been having us separate our soul and our spirit and our body, and where we could look at all three parts of us. You know, we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And for a year, almost, he's been like teaching us about each aspect of who we really are. We are a triune being, just like our Father is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But how many gods are there? Are there three gods? There's one God, but he's revealed God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, there's one you. You are spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, but it's really just one you. Trust me, there's only one Sue. Glory to God. But anyway. So let's read the verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And what he's doing now, and I don't know how long this will be going, but he's taken everything that we learned through the dissection process for the last year, but now he is reintegrating us back into one whole. See that word holy, completely? He is reintegrating our thinking now back into one whole person. You are not three persons. You're not really, you are one person with three parts, but it's really just you. It's you. You are you. Aren't you glad you came today? Who knew? I am me? Huh. Okay, anyway. But notice the very God of peace. Now he does it. This is supernatural. How many of you know you couldn't get yourself born again? Okay. How many of you know you couldn't renew your mind without his word? Hello? Well, no amens on that one. See, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. One of my mentors in the early days said, there's no such thing as faith beyond your knowledge of his word. You wouldn't even know there was a heaven without his word. You wouldn't know there was a Savior without his word. You wouldn't know you were a sinner without his word. Amen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You acquire faith when you find out what God has said on the subject. Amen? Okay. So he rebirthed your spirit. He gave you his word to renew your mind. But you know what he did for your body? I like to use this. He says, look, I can give them a new spirit. I can give them my word to renew their mind. But it's like he looked at our flesh and he went, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead and they're going to have to keep it on the cross. Now, we are going to get a new body one of these days. I mean, he's glad about that. We're going to get a new body. I'm looking forward to that day, but honey, that day is not now. And that one we're wearing, that rascal has got one place and one place only, and that's on the cross. And I mean daily, and some, if yours is like mine, that rascal jumps off the cross about four times a day, maybe four times before lunch. You got to put him back on there, you know. So, but anyway, you are a whole person. Now, you can turn to these verses if you want to. I've only got 27 of them. No, not quite that many of them. But we'll try. Let's go ahead and look at this one. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. See, this is going to take too long. We'll do this one because there's another verse right next to it we're going to look. And here lately, these services, I don't know if you've noticed these last few weeks, like you noticed the last two or three times that I spoke, he was in macro mode, giving us an overall picture. Well, that's kind of what he's doing today with you. Giving you, we're not going to go into the details of your spirit or your soul or your body, but today we're looking at the unified, transformed child of the living God on planet Earth that you are. In the age, the dispensation that we're living in. See, there's another dispensation. I'll just mention it now. You know, this is the last two services, sort of. There is coming a new heaven and a new earth. In that world, you're going to have a glorified body. You're not even going to have the same battles you're having today. You're not going to have to put that one on the cross. We should stop and worship him for all eternity right there. Amen? And okay, we're going to have a new earth where righteousness dwells. And we don't even know what that one's going to be like. Jim Martin ruined sunsets for me forever. I love the guy, but he ruined sunsets, you know, because here we're looking at a beautiful sunset and all the reds and the oranges. Wow, isn't that beautiful? And Jim says, now you do know that when God first made the world, it wasn't like that. The only reason you're seeing all that is because of the corruption that's in the world today. You live in a fallen world. And I'm going, you're ruining my sunsets. But think about this, how beautiful those sunsets are. What do you reckon it was like before the earth was corrupted? You reckon God knows how to make a better one than this one? Pretty sure he does. So anyway. I don't know what kind of teaching and preaching will happen in those days. Everything will be different. We'll have different bodies. The devil will be, he'll be in a pit. You know? We're preaching for the age that we live in. We're living in a fallen world. We're wearing fallen flesh. Your mind was educated by a fallen world system for however many years before you got born again. And then after you were born again, if you're in a lot of churches, you were fed a lot of junk. Untrue things that had to be overturned. I did. So we're living now in what we have to do is learn how to walk as children of God in this present age that we live in now, in a fallen world, wearing fallen flesh. Fortunately, we do have a prototype. We have a perfect model to look at. His name is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The born of God's Spirit, just like you have. Same Spirit in him, same life in him, same life you have. He was wearing fallen flesh from Adam, just exactly like you're wearing fallen flesh from Adam. But his mind was fully renewed and ours is partially renewed. But we have a prototype. Looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher. So 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Man, did you come to hear good news today? Even now, while you're wearing that fallen flesh, while your emotions are still giving you lots of trouble, while you're living on this fallen planet, where your government is making wrong decisions, seems like they're running from God as fast as they can. But even now, we are the sons of God. And we're here for a reason. Now we are the sons of God. Now notice, it does not yet appear what we shall be. You're not wearing your glorified body yet. It's real easy for me to look in the mirror and figure that out. Dave's already told us. He says we're not going to age above 33. That glorified body is going to be 33 years old. I remember 33. Sue's going, yeah, she remembers him. Hey, we'd be looking fine at age 33 now. I'm telling you right now, both of us. You know. Telling you right now. Okay, that's enough of that. All right. But I'm sure not wearing that body now. Now notice he says, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear. It will. Someday you're going to appear. Like your body's going to catch up with your spirit. You're going to have a body from heaven. Right now you've got a body from earth. Anyway, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do you know where John's getting that? Well, he got it from Jesus. But Paul wrote it. When he wrote it in Corinthians, he said it like this. He says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass or as in a mirror, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, as we behold his glory, and that's really the glory of the new covenant. Nathan did a good job teaching on it. But we are changed into that same image. But right now we see through a glass darkly. See, we're living in fallen flesh. We can't physically see him with our eyes. But the truth of the matter is, all you can see of him, the Holy Spirit will transform you to that image. when we see him in his fullness and when we see him as he is, we will transform into that same image. One amen is better than no amens. Hallelujah. All right. Now look at the very next verse. No, I'm sorry. Is it? Yeah. 1 John 3:3. And every man that has this hope in him. What hope? Someday I'm going to have a new body. Someday I'm going to be just like him. Someday I'm going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. Do you have that hope in you? Then what's your job right now? Purifies. You purify himself. Even as he is pure. Now wait a minute. Wait a cotton picking minute. As we would say in Pottawatomie County. Now here it says he purifies himself. Let me read you again 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This says you purify yourself. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. That word sanctify and purify come from the same root. Same thing. Well, who's doing it? Here it says, the very God of peace sanctify you. And it's already he's writing that to born-again Christians. They're already born again. And here he says, but if you had this hope in you, you purify yourself. What in the world here? Well, let's talk about purifying yourself. How would God be involved? Well, let me back up. The Jews, for thousands of years, had the law. And they tried to walk in the law in their own strength. And proved, not only to their nation, but to the whole world, Paul says. We're all guilty. Nobody can do it. That's why God set up that sacrificial system. In your own strength, in the best of humanity, nobody can keep the law. Nobody can walk holy and uprightly in their own strength. So God, in his mercy and by his grace, he put a new nature on the inside of us. He put a new nature, which it's that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. So we have the power to walk above sin. Now the question is, are you going to employ that power? And that's where the purify yourself part comes. Are you going to believe his report and believe that you are who he says you are? Are you going to believe that he sent the Holy Spirit himself also helps us with our infirmities? Are you going to choose of your own self to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost? By doing that, you are building yourself up. The real you, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, see? The Holy Ghost builds you up. How do I purify myself? Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in fasting. But any change that happens, it's still God that gives the increase. Still God that's sanctifying you. It's Him that gave you that nature. It's Him that gave you His Word. It's Him that gave you the Holy Ghost. It's God doing it. But He's saying, will you yield to what I have given you? It's good, isn't it? All right, go over one chapter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. So, see, really, John 3:3, the one we just read, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Other scriptures I could give you that Paul wrote the same thing with different words. Romans 6, Paul says, let not sin reign in your mortal body. How can you do it when the Jews couldn't? They were trying to do it in human strength. But God's given you divine strength by the new nature. You don't have to let sin reign in your body. And it's up to you whether you let it, whether you don't let it. Because the truth is, he's given you that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set you free from the law of sin and death. Well, I have a stronghold, maybe. But more commonly, you just love your sin. I was going to let Nathan say that. I think he has. Just nicer words. Well, there are such things as strongholds, and that's where the Holy Spirit does help us. Many of you weren't here when I shared this. I'm going to go ahead and do it again because he's brought it. I saw the Wheaties box. So. Let me tell you a real stronghold. All strongholds are not even sin. When I was 5 years old, I just happened to have polio. There was a epidemic of it going on in the United States. The Salk vaccine, which cured polio, was not invented until 1952. And I had it in 1951. When I had polio, the common thing was you either died or you wound up in an iron lung or you wound up in a wheelchair your whole life. But I had praying parents and I had praying grandparents. Thank God I had very little damage to my body from the polio. But now let me talk about the stronghold. It just so happened that the very day when I knew something was wrong, I'm 5 years old, I'm sitting on the couch. I still have the picture. I can just see that room in my mind is clear. My mom was sitting in a chair on the other side of the room, and I'm sitting on the couch eating a bowl of Wheaties. Now, Wheaties are not as common today as they used to be. Y'all do know what Wheaties is? It's cereal, okay? Used to be real popular. It's not quite so popular in these days, but Wheaties is just it's a wholesome thing. So I'm just eating a bowl of Wheaties, you know, and my mom asked me to do something, and when I stood up to do it, my legs just wouldn't hold me. And I went kersplat, and the Wheaties bowl went kaboom, and we wound up going to the hospital and found out that was when I found out I had polio. Now, in my brain, logically, rationally, I knew when I was five, I knew it when I was a teenager, I knew it in my 20s, that Wheaties had nothing to do with me having polio. But a stronghold developed in my brain, and I could not force myself to eat a bowl of Wheaties until after I got born again. I was in my 30s. After Sue and I got, and I would try. I thought, this is crazy. You know, I would pour a bowl of Wheaties, pour the milk on there, take a spoon, put it, you know, get me a spoonful, and my hand would begin to shake. I've had physical manifestations. And logically, I'm going, this is crazy. See, strongholds are beyond logic. Strongholds are real ones, are deeper than emotions. You can't rationalize it away. It has to be torn down. You take a person, let's take another one real quick. Take a person that has claustrophobia. And you put them in a little tiny elevator. And they got eyes. It's not dark, you know. They can see that there's no dragons in the elevator. There's no murderer with a knife. They're not in danger. But you close them up in there, their body can start having such physical manifestations. It's been reported there's been a few that died. And there was nothing physically happening to them except some stronghold within them that caused such physical manifestations. Now, that's a real stronghold. And they're not always sin. Dave talks about a stronghold he had in the early days. Remember, he says he would take D's in English, I think it was, or speaking, because he could not give an oral report. He'd just break out in a cold sweat. And yet, I'm sure Dave had the same brain then that he has now. I'm sure he was intelligent then like he is now, and could read then like he can read now. But there was some stronghold in him that if it came to giving, actually speaking out loud, he just couldn't do it. He would take a D in class instead. Now Dave says, very many people think he got overhealed. And I like it that time he said, you know, he says, the way I am now, if I was to go on to be with the Lord, he said, it'd take you 3 days to kill my mouth with a stick. Stop it. It's still preaching Jesus. So it's really God doing it. Both of these verses are true. It is God. How would you deal with a stronghold? Well, if you knew how to deal with it on your own, you'd just deal with it. Isn't that right? A real stronghold. I'm not talking about loving your sin. Very often, again, I'm going to say it again. The excuse for continuing to sin, I have a stronghold. Very often, you just love your sin. And you don't want to put the flesh on the cross because it hurts. He that suffered in the flesh is free from sin. Gary, are you preaching to you too? Going on? But sometimes it's a stronghold. It really is, and it has to be torn down. Okay, Dave's got torn down. I can eat Wheaties, but I couldn't. Something happened when I got born again. I don't even know. I mean, I got born again and filled with the Spirit pretty quick, so I don't know how much the tongues had to do with it. I didn't know then like we know now. But all I know is it broke sometime in my 30s. And I can eat Wheaties. Thank you, Lord. You know. But isn't that a real stronghold? Well, so is it God sanctifying you? Or is it you purifying yourself? And the answer is yes. Because you choose of your... See, Gary chooses every day whether I'm going to spend time praying in the Spirit or not. God's not going to make that choice for me. God's not going to arm wrestle me. He's not, you know, he's going to let me do what I choose to do. Now, if I choose to yield to the Holy Spirit and pray, or let's say I decide to meditate the Word that day, fast that day. Somebody might look at that and say, well, Gary's purifying himself. And in a way, you could say that. But I'm not really. I'm just yielding to the benefits, the tools, the resources that my Father has made available to me. And any change that happens in Gary, it's the Father sanctifying me. It's not me sanctifying myself. I'm just yielding. But it is my choice. And that's the part where you purify yourself. It's up to you whether you're going to pray. It's up to you whether you're going to meditate. It's up to you whether you're going to fast. So it's up to us to crucify the flesh, see. Paul said, I keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The flesh is crazy, even in the Apostle Paul. I kept thinking for years, like Nathan's been teaching really good on this, I thought for years, I think everybody goes through that process in the beginning. If I just pray in tongues long enough, I just won't want to do anything bad anymore. How did Alan say it? The tongues will just slap all that stuff away, you know. No, the tongues builds you up to the point where you can confront the flesh and say, you're not going to do that anymore. And the flesh goes, silence, I kill you. Some of you know what that means. Some of you don't. Anyway, I kill you. The flesh resists, doesn't it? Okay. But see, he builds you up to the point where you say, no, you're getting on the cross. And sometimes that's not pleasant at all. But you do it anyway. Okay. Have you gone to 1 John 4 now? Verse 17. Now see, herein is our love made perfect. Boy, and it's hard for me to lift that verse out by itself because it's so rich before and after it, but I've got to do what he wants today. Well, I'm trying to always do what he wants. Anyway. He gave me an outline for today, so my job is to stay with it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, now get this, as he is, so are we in this world. One time when he was trying to get this across to me, you know, I did that series on the Golden Man many, many years ago, and I still recommend that series, The Golden Man. But one time when I was going through the Gospels again, and I would come to the Mount of Transfiguration, you got to remember, at that moment, there's only one human vessel on planet Earth that had the life of God on the inside. Who was that? Jesus Christ. He is the only Son of God. He is the only person with that divine life on the inside of him. So what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, they got to see what was on the inside. And boy, the shining, and it was the light. It said he was brighter than anything. Even it made his clothes shine. I mean, he was something unearthly, from another worldly on the inside. Boy, we could just worship right there, couldn't we? But then the Holy Spirit got it across to me one day, as He is, so are we in this world. And it dawned on me, if somehow there was a zipper on your flesh, we could just unzip that zipper, and the real you, the spirit you, would step out. Did you know you would shine with that same brightness? Because you have the same life in you that He had in Him. Not something diminished. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He said the Father has given for the Son to have that life in Himself. And the Son, He gives that same life to whom He chooses. He didn't get some diminished life. You have the same life on the inside of you. As He is, so are we in this world. You have that same life, that same nature on the inside of you. Now, sometimes it's pretty buried. Sometimes we're going, I'll pick me. Sometimes myself, I'll look in the mirror. Are you sure you're saved? After some idiot thing I did. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just don't let that sin become perpetual. Don't let it become common. Okay. So as He is, so are we in this world. That's what it means. When the Scripture says Christ in us, that's what it means. You literally have that same life in you. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself. We're going very sequential. We're going to, in a minute, we're going to give a little bit more on what it really means to have Christ in you. Christ in us, our hope of glory. All right? Well, if we're to walk as the sons and daughters of God, wearing fallen flesh in this present age, well, how do I put it on the cross then? Over and over, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to come follow me. And you got to crucify that flesh, take up your cross, how often? Daily. That means it's not going to end, people. Your flesh, my flesh, y'all know, I've told it how many times, that for about 10 years, my flesh was just really an alcoholic. Really, I was an alcoholic. Because I just let my flesh have. I would get drunk to go drinking. Literally. It was bad. And I let my flesh do it. And now I haven't had a drink in 35 years now. But do you know I could let it again? Peter mentioned the proverb. He said, you know, it'd be better not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then fallen from it. He says, if you do that, it's like the proverb that the dog returned to its vomit and the sow returned to its wallowing in the mire. Where I grew up, they used that verse to say that once saved, that you weren't saved in the first place. In other words, because they believed once saved, always saved. So they say, well, you must not have been saved in the first place. See, you always were a sow. You always were a dog. Thank God for praying in other tongues. Because what Peter's really talking about there is don't backslide to the point where you put the light out. He's really talking about that. See, what's restraining your flesh? I'll tell you right now, your flesh, that's the sow. Your flesh, that's the dog. It's not changed. You may have it trained somewhat, but that rascal, the motions of sin are still in it. My flesh, if I let it, the only thing restraining my flesh today from being an alcoholic is my new nature on the inside. It's not my mind. Mankind proved for how many years with his own strength he can't keep the law. No, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God gave me a nature on the inside where for 35 years, every time my flesh wants it, I say no. Now I've got it trained and don't even ask me anymore. But I'm telling you, it's still a sow and it's still a dog. And if I let it, it'll just start enjoying alcohol again. And pretty soon I'd be wallowing in the mire the same one I was in before. It's up to you. You let that dog return to the vomit. It's you letting it happen. Okay. So it says, well, so what is God's secret? What is the What is God's plan for us to live above the flesh? Go to Galatians 5. I guess we're going to turn to all these. And I love the holiness churches. I really do. Even the old-time holiness ones. They were trying to please God. They were trying to stop sinning. Okay? Trouble of it is, they were kind of focusing on the external, trying to, you got to stop this and stop that and stop this and stop that. And pretty soon, your life just keeps getting smaller and smaller. Pretty soon, no dancing. Okay, well, there's no dancing. Well, no movies. Okay, no bowling. No cards, no canasta, no dominoes. Okay, women, no makeup. You know that's not God. Anyway, and no... What's that old deal? If the barn needs painting, paint it. Anyway, no jewelry for guys. This one preacher, he says, I gave up TV. I gave up everything. Finally, I was looking around. The only thing I had left at all was Coca-Cola. And I gave up Coca-Cola. And the miracle still didn't happen. It's kind of holiness from the outside in, see? But I kind of admire that they were wanting to please God. I understand that. That's not how God says do it. Galatians 5 is how you do it. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And that's a little S now. He's talking about walk in that new nature that God gave you. It's not the Holy Spirit that sets you free from sin. How many times did Dave tell us on the born again trail? If it's the Holy Spirit that makes you free from sin, then God would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. No, it's that new nature. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what sets you free from sin. So if you got to learn to walk by it, walk by that new nature. And if you learn to walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say the lust of the flesh will quit. And that's where I made my mistake for a long time. I thought the lust of the flesh would stop. It's a dog. It's a sow. It's a pig. And it'll wallow in the mire if you let it. You don't have to let it. That's the gospel. For if you... Now, Romans 8:13, Paul said it this way to them. If you live after the flesh, if you let the pig wallow in the mire continually, or habitually, I think is the word. If you let the dog return to its vomit habitually, now everybody stumbles. We're talking about we're living in it. You shall what? Boy, nobody wants to say it. You shall die. This is written to born-again Christians. Now, everybody stumbles. It's not like there's some churches that say, well, if you tell a lie, now you're lost. You're going to hell. That's not true. You should repent. But now, there's a difference between telling a lie and being a liar. Liars lie habitually. Amen? Now, I'm not given license to lying once. But I just don't know any perfect people yet. Maybe I will in this life. But I only know one that was perfect, and they nailed him to a cross 2,000 years ago. Okay, all the rest of us that I know, even with all of our best efforts and trying to walk in the Spirit, we still... Is stumble a nice enough word? We sin. Sometimes accidentally, and sometimes not quite so accidentally. Again, you're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from me. But he says, if you live after the flesh, and really live after, that means habitually. If that's where you live, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, and here it is again, through the new nature. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about that nature he gave you that gives you power over sin, gives you power over the flesh. If you learn to walk by that, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Can we say mortify equals crucify? What's the purpose of the cross? Is it to hurt you? It's to kill you, isn't it? Crucify and mortify, the same thing. It's through the new nature that you crucify the flesh. Learn to walk in who you are. But I'm weak and I'm emotional and I'm this and I'm that. You died. I understand what you're saying. That's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. There may be some strongholds to deal with. Pray in tongues like a crazy man. Fast your little self off. Start bridle your tongue. Stop saying stuff that God didn't say about you. If any man bridles not his tongue, his religion is vain. It has no power. It's not useful. It doesn't accomplish what God wants. But God's word will not return to him void. He said it will accomplish in that where I sent it. He sent it to your mouth. The angels hearken to the voice of his word. I think all of our angels are sitting around playing canasta. Most of backgammon, something. Because hardly anybody I know gives voice to God's word. They'll hear about God's word. They'll watch YouTube videos about God's word. They'll come to church and hear God's word. But in their everyday conversation or in their time before God, very few people spend any time voicing God's word. I wonder what happened that day when he finally got it across to me. This was back in the day. I had another stronghold of just growing up in the denomination I grew up in. If you really had God, you had to be poor. I just had this real poverty mentality in me, a stronghold. And even after I could intellectually teach otherwise, I still was bound by that stronghold. And I couldn't get free from it. And the Lord gave me an instruction. He says, I want you to take these three verses and I want you to speak them out loud 4 hours a day. I still remember the verses. I think I can quote them. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Philippians 4:19. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Psalms 34:10. The young lions do suffer and hunger lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And he wanted me to say them out loud. So I wrote them out on little 3x5 index cards. How many of you knows it doesn't take very many 4-hour sessions you have that memorized? Didn't he? But I couldn't bring myself to do it. I would start, and my reasonings, and thoughts would come like machine gun bullets to my brain. It was like, this isn't accomplishing nothing. The devil will use scripture against you. Now you think you'll be heard for your much speaking. He used scripture against Jesus, didn't he? Yeah, these angels. Just go ahead and commit suicide. Jump. Have y'all ever seen how tall that temple was? Yeah, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. The angels will bear you up. Sure they will. He's taking verses out of context like a lot of preachers. Anyway, I'm trying to be... Walk in God's plan for success. Learn how to walk by your new nature. We're going to get to that here in a minute. He gave you really simple instructions on how to do it. We'll get to that in a minute. But the key is to walk by the new nature. And it's through that nature that you mortify, crucify the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. Now go to James 5:14. We all get attacked. Get over yourself. The devil is alive and well. He's attacking in every way. The only thing on his mind is that we don't have revival. He doesn't care what stops the revival. He doesn't care what will stop you. You have some part in the revival. So to stop the revival, he has to stop you. If he can get you through some lust of the flesh, alcohol, women, money, or okay, guys, if you're a girl, I guess. Glory of man. The God complex. Only I, of all the humans ever born, only I was born with a palate shaped in such a way that I can correctly say the name of Yahweh. And it'll be me saying that name that brings Christ back to earth. Trouble of it is, he died quite a while back, so we're all in trouble. There's nobody to speak. And I'm not dishonoring the man. I'm just saying, if a man that walks in, that guy walked in more miracles than just about anybody alive, or maybe anybody alive today, and I don't know, but he walked in so much miracles, yet he still fell to that level of deception. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson, who taught us how to activate the true teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to fall to the cunning craftiness of men and false doctrine. Amen? All right. Found James chapter 5, look at verse 14. Now the enemy, he doesn't care what stops you. Something in the flesh, some addiction, something in your soul, like you want the glory of man. What about this plain old sickness? See, some sickness, well, all sickness is because of the fall. You do know there was no sickness before the fall of man. But not every sickness is a devil. Sometimes it is a devil. Jesus would cast out a spirit of infirmity. He would cast out a spirit of a deaf and dumb spirit. So sometimes it is. But all sickness is from the fall. And we have authority over every bit of it. That doesn't mean that the devil won't attack you. Get over yourself. So notice here in James, this is written to born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, Bible wagon Christians. And it says, is any sick among you? What's amazing is that he would ask that question. You got to understand, the doctrine was pure in that day. They didn't expect to be sick. They didn't expect to be sick. Can you imagine going to a church of any size today? Is any sick among you? What happens when you have a prayer line? Vroom, you know, here they come. You know. But in that day, you know, what James is writing this, there might be somebody sick. I mean, I guess it's possible. Yeah. Is any sick among you? Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now notice, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Boy, how emphatic are those words. Not maybe so. Not sometimes. No, the key is the prayer of faith. The reason you call for the elders, they're supposed to know the Lord. They're supposed to know what he'll do. And by that, yes, sir, I heard even there, you got to watch that voice of deception. Yeah, well, what that means, what Gary meant by that, they got to know what he'll do because he may not always want to heal. I heard that, it's clear. Some devil spoke that to somebody, either here or somewhere. No, what I mean is that they know he'll heal. When did you ever see Jesus one time turn anybody away? Now, sometimes he gave them instruction, but the bottom line, every person that ever came to Jesus for healing, every one of them, without exception, they got what they came for. Every time. Now, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what are we supposed to infer from that? What is the Father's will regarding sickness every time? Healing. And the elders are supposed to know that. And the prayer of faith by the elders who's supposed to know that will save the sick. Amen. And the Lord shall raise him up. But what does that mean? The Lord himself, Jesus said, it's not me doing the works. The Son of himself can do nothing. It's the Father in me. Well, what does that mean? Because when he would break bread, like he broke it for the 5,000, when he broke the bread, it said he looked to heaven. So now, where is the Father? Is he in heaven? What does he mean? The Father in me. Jesus gave us a clue that time he was casting out devils. And he says, I cast out devils by the finger of God. I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. See that Holy Spirit? Remember, God in his mercy has revealed himself to us in three parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But over and over we're told, there's only one God. That Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that is the Spirit of your Father. You have the Father in you. The same one that did the works then is doing the works now. And the Lord will raise him up by that Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost that's always manifests his will. Whew. Isn't that good stuff? And. See, it's always important to stick around to find out what's after the and. If I tell Mary, Mary, I'm going to give you my car. And she runs, see, she got really, her eyebrows went up. Yay. If she runs out right then and she doesn't hear and, it's only going to cost you $400 a month. It's important to find out what's behind the and. See? Well, and he's not through yet. That's good enough. The Lord's going to raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, meaning, now, so Jesus one time, after he healed somebody, he says, now go and sin no more, lest some worse thing come on you. You can't open the door to sickness through plain old sin. But not always, apparently. He says, if he hath, this guy may not have been sick. It may have just been a blatant attack of the devil. He may be doing all the right things, not in sin at all. But he says, now, if he has committed sins, here you got to know the Lord again. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. By the way, that one verse right there should blow away all of your radical grace books. Because they say every sin has already been so forgiven, you don't even need to ask forgiveness. Phooey. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Not already has been, shall be forgiven him. Boy. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit, Gary? Will you turn to Nathan 101? Oh, you turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. This is how you do it. This is how God did it. This is what he did for us. And he made it so simple for us. The simplicity of this frightens me just a little bit. Because it's like God's taken away all the excuses. And that's why he mentions judgment right here. It's not going to do for me to say on that day, he said, well, why did you keep sinning, Gary? Well, first off, it's not going to do for me to say, I didn't know that was sin. When he gave me a nature, that tells me what sin is. I don't even need a written law. I mean, I've got it on the inside now. You know? Try and lie, get away with it. You can't get away with it, not if you're born again. If you can get away with it, at the altar call, come and get forward. Come and get saved. Anyway. But here's the simplicity of walking in the Spirit. Romans 2, starting in verse 13. I would have Nathan come up and read this. Every time I read it now, I hear it in Nathan's voice. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, hello Gentiles, who have not the law, God didn't give us the written law, did he? Do by nature the things contained in the law. Well, how did you get that nature? You sure weren't born with it from your mother's womb. How did you get that nature? When you got born again. And he gave, that's the very life, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set you free from the law of sin and death. It is that very nature. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, God never gave them the scrolls. He never wrote on tablets to them. They do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. You've got a law on the inside now. Hebrews, he says, I will write my law in their minds, and I will write my law in their hearts. Which show the work, right, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge, I told you judgment was coming. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. How do I walk in it? Up here it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do I do that? Well, he gave you a new nature, and that nature communicates. It's not necessarily a voice that you hear in English. Just try and steal. Go right after this, go to Reese's. Steal an apple. First off, it'll already be smiting you on the drive there if that's your intention. But if you can get that apple, you're going to sneak it in your purse or sneak it under your shirt. No. That new nature, there's going to be a thought accusing that action. And it's up to you to say, okay, I'm going to agree with this new nature. The new nature says, how does Nathan? Stop right here. Stop right now. Don't go any further with this plan to steal the apple from Reese's. Stop. And if you do, you're walking by the Spirit. And you denied the flesh. When I was going through nicotine withdrawals that I thought was going to kill me, my flesh, are you kidding? Thought I was going to die. And I hate to say that because I'm such, apparently I really love my flesh. A lot of people quit smoking. It's no big deal. For me, I thought I was going to die. And I had to say, no. Pray in tongues, confess the word. I wish it was over in 5 minutes. Come back again. I'd kill you. No. That's called walking in the Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the body, and you're going to suffer in the flesh usually. Now, God can deliver you without withdrawals. He did me alcohol. I'm just saying. But he chose not to do it that way with nicotine. And I'll tell you what, after I walked through that with nicotine, the price was so high, I don't ever want to pay that price again. Maybe he knew that about Gary. Anyway, I don't know. Got to go on a little faster here. So how do you, he made it so simple. He gave you this nature. And it's perfect. And it doesn't grow in righteousness either. It's perfect, righteous, holy, the day you're born again. It knows right and wrong every time. Every time. It may not know all the decisions for your life, but when it comes to sin, it knows. You're about to flirt too much. Single person. I can flirt with Sue. But, you know, single. And you're flirting too much. There's a line. And that nature will say, stop right here. And you can. The thing of it is, if you can perceive the communication from your nature, that means you have the power to stop. That doesn't mean that it won't hurt. Your flesh, silence, I kill you. Because the flesh wants what it wants. And it's always going to be that way till you put your foot on its neck. Say, get on that cross. Stay there. And I wrote one day, that verse there, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say, do you know for new creatures, for born again children of God, that's the standard you're going to be judged by? How well you followed the nature that he put on the inside of you? Whether you followed it or whether you didn't. Now thank God, whenever you fall, thank God for 1 John 1:9. Thank God he'll forgive us. And like that prophecy I read in the early service, his goal is, let's face forward. How does Paul say that? Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark. Pressing forward, see. He'll forgive you, cleanse you. Hey, if he told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, you reckon he's got that much forgiveness for you? And infinitely more. Okay. Okay, you got to see this one in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. This is macro. He's trying to get you to understand, yes, we are a spirit. Yes, we have a soul. Yes, we live in a body. But we're not three. See, yes, sir. You know, people have taken those truths and run off with all kinds of false doctrine. Down through the centuries, I don't mean just today. They're doing it today. But they'll say things like, they'll take that verse out of Romans 7. Well, then it's no longer, if I'm sinning, but I want to keep your law, then it's no longer I that sinneth, it's sin that dwelleth in me. Well, even in the first century, they were already saying stuff like, well, see, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. It doesn't matter, because it's not really you doing the sinning. You're really a spirit person. You're born of God. It's your old sinful flesh, so God's not going to hold you accountable for that. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You are a whole person, and God is going to absolutely hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable for the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or bad. Now, he has empowered us to walk victoriously, and we have the blood of Christ remaining on the mercy seat for 70 times 7 a day if you need it to go get cleansed again. But he is not giving license for us to follow our flesh. How plain could he make it? If you follow the flesh, if you live after the flesh, Christian, you will die. You can extinguish the life if you go far enough. Where is that line? I think he purposely left it blurred so we can't know where it is. That's why I can't be your judge. Only he can look on your heart. What I recommend is stay far away from that line. I believe in getting saved, staying saved, serving Jesus all your life. That's what I believe in. Keep that flesh on the cross. Hallelujah. Notice Ephesians 1, the reason we're going here, he's being a little grown up with us now, isn't he? Ephesians 1, look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath, that's past tense, made us accepted in the beloved. You're already in. Listen, you're his child. Everything that Jesus did was for you. When you were the lost coin, when you were the lost sheep, when you were the lost sinner, Christ died for us. He came looking for us. He loved us. What did God say about the prodigal? This my son was, he didn't just say he was lost and found. He said that, but he also said he was dead and is alive again. Man, that's us. He's for us. You are already accepted in the beloved. But what he's wanting now is for us to grow up into Christ. Walk as he is, so are we in this world. And bring the revival that he's asked us to bring. All right, I want to get to this last two things here. We're going to make it. You're in Ephesians, right? Go down to verse 22. Boy, this is also rich. You know, it's hard for a teacher just to take out two verses here. But look at verse 22. Talking about Christ. And has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's take Gary. I hate to ask you to do this, but let's look at Gary's body. I know it's a lot of glory to have to take in at one time, but just anyway. Yeah, right. Now, before I got saved, anybody would say, well, that's Gary's body. Gary's in there. Why does he have that body? Well, so he can accomplish the will of Gary on planet Earth. I'm talking about before I got saved. Isn't that right? Gary has a body. Why does he have that body? Well, he needs to navigate. He needs to be able to make decisions. He needs to talk. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. He has that body so that the will of Gary can be accomplished on planet Earth. But now this scripture says, for the born-again, spirit-filled Christian that's yielded to him, it looks at that body. It looks at all of us as his body. And they say, oh, that's Christ's body. Well, what's the purpose of it? Why does Christ have that body? So that his will can be accomplished on planet Earth, which is the Father's will. I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. Now, individually, collectively, we know that's true. Now, individually, let's say Gary again. Gary's been at this a long time. Trying to renew my mind, trying to humble myself under him. Because what I would like is for Jesus to look at my body and say, well, that belongs to me. I know legally it does. But I would like for him to look at Gary and say, you know why that body's on the earth? That's part of my body. So I can accomplish what I want to it. That's who you are. Now he's putting us all back together again. Yes, you are a spirit. Yes, you have a soul. Yes, you have a body. But we have his nature in spirit. More and more our mind is being renewed to think like him. And it's not just his written word. It is his present hour speaking to you. What Tim would call your blueprint. And more as our body goes on the cross where it's no longer having its will accomplished, Christ can take that same body and say, okay, now, let us be about our Father's business. It's time to save the lost, heal the sick, cast out devils. We've got a world to harvest. let us be about our Father's business. Did you get anything out of that? Is that good preaching or what? Hallelujah! Glory to God.